I have a simple lesson this morning, a very simple lesson. We'll just read from three passages, and I won't do a whole lot of talking. We'll just read from the scriptures. But all three of the scriptures that we'll read this morning are very related. We'll read from Numbers chapter 13, 14, John chapter 8, and Genesis chapter 22, and we'll see what they all have to do with each other. But we'll begin in Numbers chapter 13 here, beginning in verse 26. The people have come to the new land and to Canaan land, to the promised land, and before they go in, they send the spies in. The spies gathered, spent 40 days, and they gathered the pomegranates and the grapes and so forth, and they came back with their report. And so we read the report beginning in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them of the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, "We have come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the parties and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And so we have the story here of the report of the spies, and how that the people were provoked to fear and to murmur and to turn against God and to deny his power. The first thing I want to notice in verse 33 there of chapter 13 is, notice what the evil spies said in their report. He said, "We were in our own sight as grasshoppers." Everything that follows is because they were looking at what was in their own mind. They were looking at the conventional wisdom. They were looking at the way things conventionally were, and they were comparing what they saw based on their own understanding. And so they saw that the people were taller than them, and so they were going to be like grasshoppers squashed underneath the foot. And so they couldn't get past their own conception of the way things were in the world around them. There were a few who trusted in the Lord, and notice in verse 6 that they were very distressed at the people's fear. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They were very upset and they were very afraid. Not afraid. They were very upset and they were very distraught at the fact that the people were afraid. And they rent their clothes in response. In verse 9, they tell them, "Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. For they are bread to us. If you will just go and take them, if you will just go and take what the Lord has promised, he will give it to you. This is what you need. You need bread. This is what you long for. Go and take it." But they were too afraid. They wouldn't even reach out their hands to pick up the bread of the land and to take it. The people were fearful and they didn't want to hear it. So what did they do? Their response was, in verse 10, just kill them. We don't want to hear what they have to say. They're trying to get us out of our fear. Let's shut them up. Stop them from telling us the truth. They need to be quiet. And so we're going to punish them by stoning them with stones. We don't want people to not be fearful, so we'll just shut up the people who were telling them to not be fearful. We can take it, they said. No, they wanted to continue in their fear. It had overcome them, and they could not see the truth. So, of course, you know the rest of the story, right? The Lord comes down in the tabernacle, and he has a few things to say. What does he say? Whenever he speaks to Moses, does he say, "You know, Moses, the people are obviously really scared right now. This is probably the wrong time to ask them to be brave. Tell them, never mind. They don't have to go forward or take the land. They can just stay where they are. We'll just camp here for a while, and we'll just wait until they are more comfortable." Usually, whenever people are scared, it gets better on its own. Just give it some time. I know the people are really scared of the people in the land, but, you know, maybe those people will stop doing whatever it is that's scaring them, and it'll all be okay, and they won't be scared anymore. Whenever that happens, then we can have the hard conversation about perhaps maybe thinking about going forward and possessing the land. Is that what God said? No, absolutely not. Continue with me in verse 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." And so Moses says, if you do that, Lord, then people will think that you weren't able to take them into the land. And so, beginning in verse 20, the Lord says, you know what? You're right. I will pardon them according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them be that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, he had another spirit in him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, they bring up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague of the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search out the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people murmured greatly. God wants total trust, and he wants all of the glory. The people thought that they didn't have the power, and therefore they didn't have God, because they were not going to give him the glory. If the people were going to be able to possess the land, it would have been because of their own strength. But they knew they didn't have the strength, and so they murmured against God. But God wants total trust. Notice that those who were fearful died a slow death in the wilderness and did not get to see the promised land. Those who were fearful died a slow death in the wilderness, and they were denied access to the promised land. Those who should have helped the people out of the fear, the very ones who had tasted of the promised land, the ones who had been there, who had seen the glories of it, who had tasted the fruit of it, they should have been the ones most eager to go back. But instead, they encouraged the people in their fear. And they had it worse. They died now. Notice there that it says that that in verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report on the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. They got a disease and died now. Those of the congregation who were fearful, they died a slow death in the wilderness. Caleb and Joshua tried to calm the people and tell them not to be fearful. They lived. The interesting thing about this is only two out of 12 people had the courage and the trust in the Lord. This means that out of 10 people, not even two people will have that. So which one are we going to be? Are we going to be one of those two out of 12, or are we going to be just like the majority? And so as far as the numbers speak, these are not very good odds. We're going to have to stand up and convince people to go in and possess the promise that the Lord has given them. Continue reading in verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we are here, and will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it will not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, and you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. They thought that the danger had passed, that something changed, and they were now comfortable, and they thought they could go take it. But they no longer were able to take it. They were no longer able to go up and take the land. Because at this point, it was too late. So the lesson for us today is, the time to be fearless is when God calls you, not when it is convenient for you. Not whenever you think that there's something worse and now you're ready to do this thing that he called you to do. The time to obey the Lord and to possess his promise is today. It's now, in spite of the fear. Put away the fear. The lesson for us is clear. We will not enter the promise if there is any fear in our hearts. We can do it because God will do it. The people could have possessed the land because God would do it. We live today because God wills it. And so we need to possess the promised land that he has given to us and not be like these fearful, evil, murmuring people. Let us be fearless in our teaching and in the way that we live our lives, so that we not be accused of being like these, wanting to take the easy way out and return to bondage back in Egypt. Now turn with me to John chapter 8, and let's read a few more verses. This is the chapter where Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And at first glance, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with what we just read? But it actually has quite a bit, as we'll see as we go on. Beginning in verse 12, Jesus is here discussing with the Pharisees what his role is and what is truth. And so they don't believe it, and in fact they have bad things in store for him. But we have a few things that we can learn from this. Beginning in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. So here we have Jesus, who, by the way, his name in Hebrew is Joshua. So here we have the new Joshua speaking to these people, and history just repeats itself. He's telling them that he is going to a place, he is going to the promised land, and they are going to die here in their sins, and they will not be able to enter that. They are going to die in their sins. Why? Look at verse 15, because they judge after the flesh, just like those of Numbers chapter 13 and 14. They're looking after the flesh. They're not looking after God. They're not seeing the truth and trusting in him. And they're not trusting in Jesus, the new Joshua. Instead, they are turning against him. And they will not be able to enter the promise that Jesus is going to. Continue reading. Again in verse 21, Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Jesus here is speaking of the Father, the same God that we read about in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God that we know today and that Jesus was speaking about, the same God that sent Jesus. But they couldn't see that. They couldn't see that the same God that led them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt, was trying to lead them into an even better place. Instead, they turned away from it, just like they did back then. Continue in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? This passage is interesting because we just read about how about their escape from the bondage of Egypt. And in fact, in their minds, how they escaped from their bondage of Egypt, and they were trying to possess a new land. But in reality, they were still in bondage. They had continued in bondage because they were in the bondage of sin back then, just like the Pharisees here were in the bondage of sin. They were in the bondage of their fear back in Numbers, and they were still in the bondage of the Egyptians because they thought it would be better if they went back, if they backslid back to Egypt and continued to serve the Egyptians. And so here we have the Pharisees saying, we've never been in bondage to anyone. In denial then, during Jesus' time, as they were in Numbers. And we'll read about in just a second that they were surely in bondage. They did not realize that they were in bondage this day, just as they were back then. Continue in verse 34. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. So, again, they were in bondage because they were in sin. And because they were in bondage to the world, and they didn't even know it. In verse 39 and 40 here, And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So just like the Joshua of old, they want to kill him because he is speaking the truth. Just like they wanted to stone Joshua for telling them not to be afraid to go into the promised land, that he had been there and seen it. Jesus, who came from heaven with God, says, I will take you back. And they say, no, we are going to slay you instead. So again, nothing is new, and history continues to repeat itself. Continue in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Again, they will not listen to the words of truth from this Joshua or the from God, because they are not from God. Continue in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. A lesson for us today, we will never see death if we are fearless and go forward and take the promise. Unlike those in Numbers chapter 13 who shrank back, who did not trust in God and they died in the wilderness, or they died immediately of the disease that God sent. We don't have to be like them. We can step forward with Christ and follow him to the promised land. And notice what he says, if you keep his sayings, you will never see death. The world all around us is so scared of death, but Jesus promises us that we will never see it. Continue in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that hath honored me, of whom ye say that he is your God. But ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And so this leads us to our last passage in Genesis chapter 2, and we can go ahead and turn there. These did not know who Abraham was. Whenever Jesus brought up Abraham, they had some earthly conception of him because they were the descendants of him. Excuse me. But being the descendants of Abraham is meaningless. The question is, do you act like Abraham? Do you behave like Abraham? Do you trust in Abraham the way that Jesus did, the way that Joshua and Caleb did, the way that Abraham himself did? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, as already mentioned. Let's begin reading in verse 8. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The most important lesson for us, the one lesson that the children of Israel did not learn in Numbers 13 through 14, the most important lesson of this entire passage, of this entire story that we are told here, is that God will provide. God will provide. If he asks you to do something, he will provide. There will be no room for failure, because he will provide. And I think that as Christians, or just as people in general, if we realize this lesson, a whole bunch of things get a whole lot easier. God will provide. Abraham thought that he was going to have to harm his son. He thought that the command that God was giving him would result in the death of his son. But it was not to be, because God would provide. And so even though Abraham didn't understand what was about to happen, he still knew the right thing to say. God will provide. This is why the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to did not know Abraham. They had no idea who he was. Oh, they may have been his descendants. They may be able to trace their lineage, but they certainly learned nothing from this story, and they learned nothing from Abraham. God will provide. We must learn this lesson today. Continuing in verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, and as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Abraham was going about the commandment that the Lord gave him, and the Lord surely did provide. And notice what he says here in verse 12. I know that you fearest God. You didn't fear the repercussions of what you were doing. You didn't fear what people would think of you. You didn't fear the harm that would come to you or even to Isaac. But you feared God instead. God did provide. But we have to be willing to trust, and we have to be willing to watch. Notice what it says here at the end of 14. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Oftentimes we close our eyes to the things that God wants us to see because we're only concerned with the things of the world. But instead, we need to watch and wait on the Lord. He will provide. It will become evident what His will is. Continue reading in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, Myself have I sworn, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So now we complete the circle back to the children of Israel going in to possess the land as a great nation, and eventually Jesus coming as the Word of God sent from the Father to bring us the truth, as we read about there in John chapter 8. And through that seed and through that blessing by which all nations will be blessed, we can be made free, because Jesus alone is the truth. And he and his disciples have taught us what it is to be truth. And so, like Israel, standing there at the entrance of the promised land, we have a choice to make. We can trust God and go in fearless and strong like Abraham, or we can die in the wilderness afraid. And then to Jesus, the new Joshua, sojourning on the earth, having come from heaven, through him we will be blessed if we trust completely. We get the same choice. Be free in the truth, alive, and fearlessly follow him into the promised land, or die slowly here, wandering aimlessly. And so with that, this morning the lesson is yours, and that's all I have to say. The choice is yours, but it's really no choice at all. Be like Abraham. Go where God tells you to go, and do what God tells you to do. Do it fearlessly with a completely trusting heart. He will bless you, he will keep you, and there will be no reason to be afraid. Thank you.